How did Christians lose the culture war? And make no mistake, we lost. Well, for one thing, we didn't recognize there was a war until it was too late. And when we did realize it, we fought it in the wrong arena. We fought it in the area of politics, thinking that if we got the right politicians in, they would turn it all around. But the war was actually being waged in the media, the entertainment industry, education, and government institutions. The war began in the 18th and 19th century, but it ramped up in the 20th century when Freemasons and communists instigated wars around the world to get rid of Christian monarchies and establish republics. Then all through the 20th century, communists infiltrated our institutions. Again, government, entertainment, media, even our churches, and especially the Catholic Church. They had to neutralize the Catholic Church. They tried all of this in the 1920s and 30s when movies first came out. The movies the studios were putting out were blasphemous and encouraged immoral sexual behavior, just like today. I bet you didn't know that. The Catholic Church told Catholics not to go to the movies, and the studios began to lose money. So they agreed to a censorship board to appease the American bishops. They put their plans on hold and began infiltrating the Catholic Church, because it was the biggest obstacle to their plans for world domination. In her book, School of Darkness, Bella Dodd reveals that she alone got over 1,100 communists into Catholic seminaries. Senator McCarthy saw this was happening to the American institutions and tried to do something about it, but everyone thought he was crazy. That alone should have shown us that we couldn't win this war through politics. It didn't matter who we put in office. By the end of the 1950s, the communists had all the pieces in place. They got rid of the censorship boards through the Supreme Court, and they set up a system of corrupting the youth by incrementation through music, entertainment, education, and the media, convincing each generation of one or two issues to demand through disobedience. Once achieved, they moved to the next generation and the new issue. They gave us rock and roll music, which at first sang about romantic love, which is just lust. Then it moved to crypto drug songs denying the true meaning in the 1960s with groups such as the Beatles. Then it started singing about sex, then violence, then the occult. Movies and TV shows pushed the feminist agenda, infidelity and divorce, portrayed Christians in a negative light, and portrayed fathers as idiots and attacked fatherhood. Then MTV started pushing the alphabet agenda in the 90s. It's no coincidence that it started off as a music channel, but once it got everywhere, it changed to social engineering. Oh, and they broadcast from a Freemasonic temple. Did you know that? But there is a spiritual aspect to this as well. There's an old video called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. It's about how rock music is from the devil, but you don't have to watch that video to see it. Listen to the interviews of these people. When asked how they write their songs, they all say they meditate and a spirit comes over them and gives them the songs. They admit in interviews that they sold their soul. Some say John Lennon sold his soul for 20 years of fame and the other Beatles just came along for the ride. When his 20 years were up, he lost his life. Some say that he saw it coming. And some say he even knew the manner of which he would die. And isn't it interesting that soon after he died, Paul McCartney lost the ability to write songs. He wrote some of the most iconic songs of all time for 20 years, and then all of a sudden he couldn't write a commercial jingle. It's like someone turned the spigot off, like the spirit left him. They know this is a spiritual battle, even though they tell you you're crazy when you say it. So when Satanists say they don't believe in God or the devil and they're just embracing Satanism to be profound, don't believe them. They worship the father of lies. Why should we believe them? No servant is above their master. They also admit that there are people in Satanism that we know who are in high positions of power, and if it were discovered that they are Satanists, they would lose those positions and that power, so they keep it a secret. Why would you risk your livelihood for something that you don't believe in? None of that would be possible were the Catholic Church in good shape, since all the grace from God comes into the world through the Catholic Church. And once the communists and Freemasons that were put in the seminaries of the Catholic Church in the late 30s and 40s were in positions of power, we had the Second Vatican Council in the early 1960s, which opened the door to radical changes to the liturgy, the church stopped teaching the faith on purpose and changed all the prayers, getting rid of protections from lust and Muslims. Did you know that? Some of the prayers you know initially included pleas for protection from the Muslims. Those parts were removed. And the Litany of the Saints had a line that said, "Protect us from the spirit of lust." Let me repeat that. The Second Vatican Council in the early 1960s removed a prayer request to all the saints in heaven to protect us from the spirit of lust. In case you didn't know, the sexual revolution began in the late 1960s. They also changed the liturgical calendar, getting rid of days of prayer and fasting so that the church will have good priests, and 70% of the priests left the priesthood. Enrollment in seminaries dropped 80 to 90%. The Second Vatican Council is the only council in church history called not to solve a problem, but to create one. Do you get where I'm going with this? The communists and Freemasons, through the early part of the 20th century, infiltrated the Catholic Church so they could have the Second Vatican Council, so they could water down the faith, stop teaching the faith, and get rid of the spiritual protections that the Catholic Church offers the world, so they could then put into play their plans to corrupt and overthrow our society. They even forbid the recitation of the prayer of St. Michael at the end of Mass. What's that all about? What's the prayer of St. Michael? The answer to that question explains everything. It was composed by Pope Leo XIII and added to the prayers after Mass in 1886. It reads, "St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through the world for the ruin of souls. Amen." One day, after celebrating Mass, Pope Leo XIII collapsed to the floor in a trance and was given a vision. When he awoke, he composed the prayer and added it to the Mass. There are different versions of what the Pope saw during the vision. One says he saw demons descending on the church and the world. Another says he was shown the horrors of the devil's activities in the 20th century and St. Michael ending them. But the most popular version says the Pope was made privy to a conversation between Christ and Satan, where Satan boasts, "I can destroy your church," to which Christ replies, "You can? Then go ahead." "I'll need more time and more power," says the devil. "How much time and how much power?" 75 to 100 years and more power over those who will give themselves to my service." Christ says, "You have the time and you have the power." One thing is certain, regardless of which version is true. Satan was given a period of time of unrestricted activity that no doubt included most of the 20th century. But the good news is, Satan's time is up. Exorcist Father Chad Ripperger said in an interview on the Grace Force podcast that Satan told him during an exorcism that Christ took his power away over the church. A few months later, Pope Francis consecrated Russia properly, most likely, something that just couldn't seem to happen for, well, 100 years. So his 75 to 100 years are over. But that doesn't mean everything is going to snap back peacefully. What God is going to restore is Catholic Christendom, monarchical Catholic Christendom. We know this through prophecy. I have many videos on my channel about this. People ask me why I'm a monarchist. This is why. Because at the end of the day, God is going to restore monarchy. And I'm sorry, but that's not going to come about peacefully. Yes, Russia has been consecrated, and that's the first step, but unless everyone in the world is willing to give up their, quote, rights that they love so much, it's going to have to be forced by God. We do have free will, after all. Unless people are willing to give up not just abortion and the right to have sex with anyone and accept that sex is to be only in the confines of biblical Christian marriage, but also no contraception. Women are to stay home and raise children. No freedom of religion or even Christian denomination. People will have to accept monarchical rule with Catholicism as the only religion and Catholic morality enforced by law. That means if you're caught breaking morality laws, you could go to jail, lose your property, and lose your children. I don't have to tell you how small a number are those who are willing to accept that, even among Catholics. So I believe the purge is still coming. Now, you might think, God isn't fair. It's not our fault. This is the world we were raised in. These are the values we were taught. What about the people during the flood? You don't think the same could be said for them? And like them, we've had plenty of warning. Now, the illumination of conscience may happen and everyone will be shown the truth, But even those prophecies say the majority of people will revert to their sinful lifestyles within a few weeks. And so, like during the flood, the wicked people will perish, and only those who are willing will be left. And no one will have an excuse. This isn't the end. Not yet. This is a second deluge, but not by water this time, but by fire. And just like the first deluge, God has provided an ark, his mother. Christ said at the approved apparitions of St. Nicholas, "Previously the world was saved through Noah's ark. Today the ark is my mother. By means of her, souls will be saved because it will draw them closer to me. Whoever rejects my mother rejects me." Mary has said through all her apparitions, the way to save yourself and your family from what's about to happen is through praying the rosary and devotion to her Immaculate Heart, because at the end of this is the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. And the whole world will recognize Mary's unique role in salvation and in our lives. And this isn't just for Catholics, all the baptized, Protestants as well. She is the mother of all the baptized, and she wants all of us to pray the rosary. Yes, even Protestants. You can pray the rosary and ask for her intercession, and she will protect you. And of course, it all comes from God. She can just get whatever she wants from her son. So when we say she will protect you, it means she will obtain God's protection for you. Now, I know what you're saying. I don't have to go to her to get God's protection. And normally I'd say yes, but we are to pray for each other and we can ask other Christians to pray for you. Mary's intercession is the most powerful. Look at the wedding at Cana, yada, yada, yada. But for this, what's about to happen? Yes, you do. Jesus is very clear through these apparitions that in this time you do, because it's his will. He wants everyone to recognize his mother, and he will only save those whom she gives him. And she promises to do just that if you pray the rosary every day. So you better start doing it, or hope someone's doing it for you. Until my next video, God bless.